Welcome, everyone, to a brand new episode of Adventures into Sovereignty. We have breaking news with the Rod Class case. This is a special event. We have special news. I am joined by my co-host, Rebecca Cope. Rebecca, welcome to the show.
Yes, hello, Andrew. We have had a little bit of a hiatus here for a few weeks, but let me tell you something. We've been so busy behind the scenes. And as we have been working and doing these interviews with Rod Class, just some absolutely astounding Rod was picked up on the 28th of October means this NIST has put together, always worked on them in ways that we will reveal to you tonight, that you're going to want to know what's going on in the courtroom and also behind the scenes. So we're here to tell you about that. The most important thing I can tell you is that Karen Hootis showed up in his courtroom yesterday, a very unexpected development. So we've got lots more, don't we, Andrew?
We have an incredible amount of information. As Rebecca was saying, Rod was picked up on the 28th. It was 2 days after we did a very special recording with New Earth Nation and Sasha Stone that did air here live on BBS and simulcast on Blog Talk and Google Hangout. So there is a lot of information that we're going to cover, specifically because Rod was understanding that the court was trying to make a permanent press on him, trying to get him to be coerced into signing some form of contract. And as we know, Rod is a consummate teacher, and he's not going to sign himself into a contract. And they have been doing some awful, awful things at him, putting him on around the diesel bus, not giving his medications, things that just really show you that not only is this a war crimes trial, but these judges and these prosecutors and these marshals, these people that are following these orders blindly, are really starting to go down the totalitarian pathway, and it's time for people at Adventures into Sovereignty and everyone else that's linked in this, from New Earth Nation and Rising Life Media and all the people that have helped out the AIB network to step forward. And we are going to pull out the old proverbial pitchforks and torches and spit wads, and we are going to point them at the courts and say, you let this free man go. He is a pro se litigant that you have targeted for termination, and we are not going to accept that from you.
Yes. And one of the things in constant contact with both Rod and Sharon Class, she's been on the phone constantly with Sharon Class, the person that has been helping him behind the scenes with all of this private paperwork and all of the things that have been going on there. Josie's been in constant contact. And then she has been in contact on a regular basis with Karen Hootis since she walked into that courtroom yesterday and has just absolutely taken on the case of Rod Class so that she can do what she can to help out, including filing a brief in the court before Monday. So we have with us Josie Perez. She'll be sharing a lot of that information as we begin to get this information out. And I've got to say a big shout out to Jeanette. We all call her JT, part of the researchers with Rod Class's network. She was the one who pulled in Karen Hootis yesterday. And Karen got to work with our mutual friend, I'm not going to call her name, but one of the ones who has been so instrumental helping Rod behind the scenes in ways too numerous to mention. We have such a wonderful network here, and everybody has really gotten into this and just helped out in numerous ways. There are many more ways that you can understand what's going on and be a part of that. And it's our job to make sure you know that tonight. We've got some excellent videos up there that Sasha did earlier that will be able to help get this word out in a really big way, as well as inviting you to sign the peace treaty. There are so many ways that you can get involved here. So really, that's what this show's about tonight, Andrew. It's just wonderful to have so many people here, and we really look forward to sharing what's going on behind the scenes.
Right. As the machine gets turned up, we are sending out nearly 25,000 emails and going to be connecting to nearly 3,000 independent bloggers to spread the show out and spread it to the mainstream media. So all those people that are listening now live on BBS, live on Google Hangouts, live on Blog Talk Radio, and all those people that are grabbing the RSS feeds from all of these different places, there are three combined shows on adventuresintosovereignty.org that you can go to. There's an 8-minute video that was done by New Earth Nation that takes the call to action and tells you exactly what's going on. There's the extended interview that's at about 28 minutes long that gives you the whole breakdown of the Rod Class story. And then there's a third video that's just over an hour that is titled How to Hold the Corrupt Courts Accountable. And this is a culmination of all the information that we have learned about the War Powers Act, the Trading with the Enemy Act, the CAFR accounts, the CRIS accounts. And we have got all the source documents with provable information of what is going on with the securitization and monetization of your signatures inside the courts. We can prove this from seven ways to Sunday, at an administrative level, at an inherent equity level, so on and so forth. It's all there. And one of the things that Rod was very big on was chaining 1,000 private attorney generals in conjunction with New Earth Nation's e-learning platform. We are going to be going forward with this e-learning platform. We are not going to let this setback stop us. We want Rob there. And one of the things that we are encouraging people to do is to read this New Earth Nation press release and then determine how you want to get involved. We are going to be giving you some tools for Operation Spitwad, where we're going to tell you where the court is, and we're going to tell you what's exactly going on and what we'd like you to do out of a courtesy notice. There are things that can be done that we know that are not being filed with Rod's case. And if they know there's a lot of eyes watching Pacer, they're going to eventually respond. Part of the, I believe, the documents that Karen's going to file is going to, are they going to produce the living man Rod? Because they're not allowing the living man Rod to even speak in the court without some court of contract being forced down his throat.
And yeah, Josie's really going to bring us really up to date on what's going on behind the scenes there. But I think one of the other things that we need to let everybody know, because, you know, Rod has really pushed the envelope on this case more than any other case in the history that I'm aware of, have we been able to focus such a spotlight on the real corruption that's going on in the courts, because Rod has managed to document this information in right. such a way that we are going to bring it to you. Every jot and tittle is going to be exposed, including what is going on right now. His private paperwork is sitting in a registered mail place that has not been picked up for over 10 days. They have been sitting on this paperwork. This is just one of those things that the judges and the courts do to keep from following the rule of law. They're not even accepting the paperwork. I've had this happen in a case that I've worked on before, so it seems to be a common ploy. And as this spreads the information on the pro se litigants, you know, they say, okay, you know, here's how you're supposed to do this, so that these people just, you know, they're going to get tired and go away. We're not going to let them win. This is why 97% of the court cases that we deal with in this country do not have a favorable outcome. If you're against a bank, maybe you get 3% of the cases, but that's really not often the case. It's not even really that much. Well, there are reasons for that. There's stuff going on behind the scenes, and this case will be able to expose more of that than we've ever been able to document with absolute black ink on white paper. And so Rod, we will be putting that out as we get all of this together.
Right. Rod's case is more than just a gun case.
Yes.
And we have been saying that since day one. This is a living human case.
Yep. In ways that it's really just going to open the eyes of people who have not really paid any attention. You know, you are so fortunate if you are one of the few who hasn't had either you or your family embroiled in a lot of this. You know, I started almost making fun of it in a way, that the new normal in America was that a middle class person you know, spent their Sundays going to visit somebody in jail now. You know, it has become so normal for the average person. When I was growing up, this was absolutely unheard of. Yep. But now it's almost a normal thing because each one of us who goes in, whether we go for a traffic ticket or a child support enforcement, this little old traffic ticket, you are a war criminal. That is just about the most unbelievable thing that anybody could say, but we now have that proof. That's part of what I'm saying. We will show you behind the scenes. And this e-learning platform that we're putting together will go in there. This is one of the things. I had a beautiful email today from people who are learning this information, and what they said was, you know, it is just almost more than I can stomach. You know, I have to know that this is true, and I want you to take me and hold my hand so that I can follow this. I want to see the documentation myself so that I can understand this, because if I can understand it, then I'm going to be willing to do something about it. So that's what the e-learning platform is about. We have Rogier Bowman, who is with Rising Life Media out of Holland, and Amit Tita, who had worked for many, many documentaries with National Geographic. They're putting the games and the animation to this so that people can learn really, really easy. And by the way, they will have the trailer for the Rod Class documentary. They expect to have that out later this week. So there's really a lot behind the scenes that Rod has been so, so tireless in helping us put together this year. So we will carry through. And, of course, we expect to have Rod home any time now. That's a big part of the story that we will keep you up on. But there has been so much going on behind the scenes, as he's really been targeted and picked up under unfair circumstances, which Josie will be able to tell you a whole lot more about that. And she's been in touch with both Rod and Sharon and Karen Hootis as we get into this show.
So we'd like to remind people that the New Earth Nation has a special press release out. If you go to adventuresintosovereignty.org, you can look on for the one breaking news Rod Class event on that tag there, and you'll be brought to a page that has the three videos. We encourage everybody, so it'll take you about 20 minutes to read out. It is full of information relating to the War Powers Act, trading with the enemy, and it breaks down what's going on with Rod's case. And we want people to go and look at all of our different source documents. We want you to go to AIB Network's Big List. We want you to look at the information that has been presented in these videos and begin writing your own blog pieces. Why? We need more than opinion pieces out there. We need people that are beginning to understand this law and spread this word more than the four networks that we are simulcasting on right now, more than the 30,000 emails that are being sent. By the end of the month, we're going to be dealing with 150,000 emails. We would like our audience to double that, triple that, by doing your own blog, doing your own posts, using your own social media networks. We have provided the tools from the AIB Network, the Big List, Adventures into Sovereignty, and to International Tribunal on Natural Justice. We now need the group of volunteers that are willing to put digital documents together in your own words that understand this process, that begin to explain Rod's cases and spread it on your social media as far as it will go. You know, again, we put this network together, four simulcast stations here, and now we're growing this audience bigger and bigger. And we're going to bring Josie in here in just a second, but I want to remind people, Rod's case is more than just a gun case. And you know, there was a big sweep in the Republican victories in our fraudulent elections that we have going. In this interview, Rod said something very important. For 12 hours during election day, they're not a corporation. We just had our election day. That 12 hours was passed. That 12 hours Rod refers to in this interview, he was in jail. Rod is a constitutional bounty hunter with 8 letters of marquee of reprisal. What could he have done in that 12 hours if his paperwork were properly received?
And I have to tell you a story that came to me from one of my neighbors here in Florida tonight that just absolutely made me stop and take notice, because this was a woman who is a Democrat, who was targeted, her license were taken from her the day before voting. Her insurance had been completely paid on the 3rd of October. Her license showed up that it had not been paid on the 18th. And so she looked at the policeman who stopped her, and she said, "There's no way. My insurance has been paid." And he said, "Well, I'm sorry. I'm taking your license." She got charged with a complete fine, went back in and found out that this was something that her insurance was completely up to date. They took her license, so she couldn't vote. And so I'm real curious, all of the voters in the Florida area, these are some of the things that are going on. They're profiling and targeting people to keep a lot of this from happening. This, you know, it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or a Republican. It just matters that if you're supposed to be able to vote and you can't, so this is just here. We really want people to get in there. And all, as Rod says in this introductory video, so beautifully done. And Avi, I have to give a big shout out to you for doing such a beautiful job on this introductory video. Avi and Sasha have put so much work into this. And it's just, you know, this is all part of our volunteer network. But what Rod says is, it's up to us. It's up to us now. And so Rod has done his job to carry this message out there. And I want to say a thank you to Harvey for all he does. I know that the AIB network could not be on the show because we couldn't get the regular AIB group on there. But Harvey made sure that the word got out. So we have Rod's network out there too. And we haven't particularly said hello to them. So I want to make sure that we focus on that. And one of the most interesting things as we start bringing Josie in is that Josie, who is the advocate who is doing so much with Rod, she has been part of the AIB network since 2006. So this network gets really out there in very interesting ways.
Let's bring Josie in now. Josie, are you there? Josie.
I wonder if she is muted
in some
way.
You can hear me.
Ah, yes. Yeah. Now we can hear you.
Thank you.
Yes,
hello,
Josie, you were telling me earlier the most amazing things about what you are able to do as a part of the Disabilities Act. And let's just remind everybody that Rod Kless is a disabled American veteran. He has been having to deal. He has hearing problems. He has feet problems as a result of some of the disabilities he had as a part of his war service efforts. So we won't go into a lot of his medical history, but Josie, share, as you have been working with Rod this week, give us an update, because you've been in touch with Karen and Sharon and Rod. Let's just bring you in and really get some of this information that you shared with me earlier tonight.
Well, as I explained earlier, Rod's case is a case that is very complicated. And yes, Karen did call me first thing in the morning. Got me out of bed early and told me, you know, I had shared with her some documents that I had filed on Rod's behalf, and I explained to her how the courts were blocking access of my intervening on Rod's behalf for the reason being that he is a disabled veteran. But I won't speak on any disabilities here because we are basically a group of advocates throughout the United States. We've been established for the last 4 years, and I am actually a private agent for hire. We work with the courts. We work within their boundaries and rules. However, we do not serve the courts. Our sole intervention here is only with the client and their personal matters. And I'm going to share with you something that people are not aware of about the courts that is something really of importance for the future of the courts that they are not in compliance with. They don't understand it. It's new. And I am actually an ADA under the American with Disabilities Act. I am a forensics advocate. And what I do is, say you're a client, and based on that fact, I usually charge on a sliding scale. Most people cannot afford my services, so I really go pretty low. But what I do is I gather up all of one's medical information, and it is kept private under HIPAA laws. And it is our duty to go in through the courts and file accommodations for that client, meaning that, such as in the case, we'll use Rod's case as an example. He is about maybe 1,000 miles away from the courthouse. And under his circumstances that you described earlier, he is not able to travel 1,000 miles each time. And in his case, he's done so 13 times. And that causes hardship, you know, approximately 13 times.
In 18 months. Almost once a month.
In 18 months.
Yep.
Exactly. Not to mention that he was bound, you know, shackled and monitored for 18 months.
Yes, and paid $100 a month for this inhumane treatment. He had to pay $100 a month for this type of thing. I mean, they have carried this so far beyond what is, targeting somebody like this. It really has been something to watch, because it really should have been, it should have been dismissed in that first month. Okay.
Right. After the first prosecutor that he served papers on, it should have been dismissed.
It should have been dismissed. I mean, truthfully, for those of you who aren't familiar with the story, that's really the crux of it. The law that he's been charged under was found unconstitutional by the Supreme Court, and he put that in his first pro se paperwork.
You know, when we find out how much they've tried to securitize this case is when we're going to discover why these particular judges, prosecutors have decided to go this route. Is it greed, or is this stupidity? I don't know right now, but we've seen some of the most idiotic and unusual tactics coming out of these courts when dealing with Rod, and he's calling them on the administrative level. Obviously, they're not going to want to admit to anything on the administrative level, because what happens when they do? Rod has told us, as soon as they admit one thing, that means at the administrative level, he can pull anyone off of a bench. Anyone. He's a constitutional bounty hunter.
Yeah. And just, you know, the inhumane treatment, picking him up when he had paperwork in that should have prevented them from picking him up in the first place, that's where the real thing. I mean, he should never have been picked up. And then, Josie, talk about what happened, what we call this diesel therapy, where he was kept moving. I mean, talk about abuse. Let's talk about that part of it a little bit.
Right. The courts have been reaching a very dangerous turning point, as they are now taking individuals and actually abducting them and subjecting them to cruel and unusual punishment so that they can break down the defendant and get them to do what they want them to do. And the reason why this is very dangerous to all you listeners is that what they will do is get you to sign on to an agreement, and they'll give you a partial on what they perhaps may do to work with you, and now the defendant is under so much distress, they're willing to sign anything to get out of the circumstances. But they took Mr. Class and decided to take him for a joyride. And I believe they took him to five different jails around North Carolina before transferring him to D.C., riding him around in this van. He didn't know where he was at, deprived him of his health and, you know, various perhaps medications that he might have been taking. They cut him off from everything. They strip him of his clothing. And basically, these are what we're calling tactics done by this court. And this is very dangerous because now they're showing their true colors to the public as to what we will do to you if you don't comply. And as an advocate, an ADA advocate, it's my mission. What we do is to ensure equal access to judicial system. And what we do is we're trying to we're moving towards a social model over a medical model, because I'm going to explain something to you shortly, but we're providing accommodations under the Americans with Disabilities Act. We try to promote a fair court process with an attitude of inclusion, not, you know, exclusion where you're totally ignored. They pretend that you're not in the courtroom. We try to intervene when they become intolerant. The advocate tried to enhance the security of all of our defendants. We want dignity and respect where that's not occurring anymore in our courtrooms. And basically, we are the ones who are supposed to take the blows on behalf of the client when they're in there. And I want to say about the ADA advocates, there are two types. We have ADA advocates and ADA forensics advocates. And our mission, I just want to read this to you. Our mission is affirmed by the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, 1948, the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women of 1979, the ABA Resolution of 2002, the Americans with Disabilities Act, Titles 2 and 3 of 1990, and the, our newest is the ADAAA, which is called the Americans with Disabilities Act Amendment of 2008, and the International Treaty for the Disabled of 2009. Now, we have a new category that was put into the DSM-6, and this new category is called Legal Abuse Syndrome Families. Legal abuse syndrome is a form of post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. It is a psychic injury, not a mental illness. It is a personal injury that develops in individuals assaulted by ethical violations, legal abuses, betrayals, and fraud, abuse of power and authority, and a profound lack of accountability in our courts, which have become rampant. And all you have to do is look up legal abuse syndrome, do a casual search on the internet, and you can find this website and lots of information regarding legal abuse syndrome, because the majority of our families and individuals are suffering from legal abuse. You are being targeted by the court, subjected to cruel and unusual punishment, and that disables you in the courtroom. When you go to court, and you're coming home, and you feel like you have to throw up, you're sick from your stomach, you've got a pounding headache, you become paralyzed when you're in that courtroom. You can't even speak when you look at them because they just constantly lie right in your face. You can't talk. You know they're lying. You know that you're being abused by these attorneys and that they're handling you like a negotiable instrument. This is where we come in. We could even sequester our defendants and silence them. We can ask for timeout. We can, if they're severely physically impaired, we could have had, such as Mr. Class, have his court cases done by phone. Florida is a very good state for using this tool. They understand it. They have, you know, knowledge. As a matter of fact, this is developed in the state of Florida. However, many courts do not understand this process yet, and they are furious with us because we are the ones who level the playing field. So what they've done here is I was told by the BC court that they have never heard of this type of intervention. So what they've done is hidden the client from me. And I've had to send out several lashing emails to Mr. Kramer, who's in denial. He claims that he is not his counsel. And they become very alarmed when someone's coming in from the outside and questioning their ethics, questioning the abuses. And I have not stopped. And I've discussed this with Karen. I said, this is a total mess, what's going on in this case, but this is no longer a Second Amendment rights case. This is an abuse of, you know, under the Civil Rights Act, Disabilities Act, you know, Human Rights Act. I said, every eye needs to be on this case because they've become very bold. And in their moves, they have broken probably every courtroom law you can think of, their own rules.
Oh, and that's what's been going on throughout this whole case. There is just no question about that. And what people really don't understand, Josie, that we've really been trying to call everybody's attention to, is that the international law that was established after the Nuremberg Tribunal in 1950, the international law, the principles that are in force throughout the world, based on the Nuremberg trials, we are facing exactly that same kind of thing with this situation with Rod, where these judges have broken every one of those principles in this case. They have, they're in denial. They're in complete violation of Article 100 of the Labor Code that operates behind the scenes here in America. And so it's really this type of abuse that you're talking about here that was going on in Germany before the Nuremberg trials, that the judges had to be held accountable. This is the whole thing that people don't realize. It does not matter if your government tells you this is okay, or if your superior tells you, you have an act of moral conscience that tells you the difference between right and wrong. And you know when you have broken that moral code. And every one of these judges and public defenders and prosecutors, three judges and three prosecutors in this case, have just absolutely not paid any attention to the fact that they are guilty of these abuses. So,
look how many SF-95s have been filed into this case.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we're at a point with Operation Spitwad that we're going to show the court 30,000 SF-95s.
It is just, you know, it's time that we do have to start taking responsibility. And this case here again, I mean, people look at it and say, oh, come on, this is 2014. Things like this don't go on in America. And Josie, what would you say to that?
I would say, I know that everybody went out the other day, or at least the majority of people might have gone out and casted their votes. But when people tell me that they go out and cast their votes, and I ask them, are you satisfied with your vote? And they'll say, yes, I voted Republican, I voted Democrat. And I said, well, what is wrong with you? When are you going to take responsibility for your actions? Each time we go and we submit a vote, you are asking someone else to save you. You're asking someone else to save this country. When are we going to take responsibilities for our actions? Each time you allow the officer to arrest you and give you this bill and you sign off on your ticket, you've just approved. Each time you go into a courtroom and you sign off on what they give you, you are signing a contract. The Senate, your Congress, no one can help you if you continue to allow this to happen. And I always tell people, the first thing you have to do before you can save a country is admit that we were duped and we are titled as prisoners of war. And when you understand that you're a prisoner in a huge land mass, you will start taking responsibility. This is how they walk away with your children, your homes, your cars. Everything that you've worked so hard for is taken from you so easily from the day you were born, because people have been trying to get out there and spread this message that your children were signed away at birth. They have no heirs. We show documents showing how the names are written on those documents, and those documents are not you. And once you begin to understand that, you will then second question, why did I vote for this person? Why did I go into the voting booth? No matter how you cut it, you're still operating under the War Powers Act. And until that War Powers Act is lifted, this country will never change the way it's doing things. It's going to only get worse until the people gather together. I spread this message week after week after week. They're doing what they're doing to you because they're not telling you the truth. Anyone who runs for office, I would question them, when are you going to lift the War Powers Act? When are we going to stop operating under the Libra codes? And maybe they will turn their head and run away from you. That's not the person to be voting for.
Right. It's legal corruption the way the system is set up now.
Well, it's embezzlement. Exactly. It's embezzlement of federal funding. I mean, it is embezzlement of our resources. We have been conscripted to take care of the war for these people who have then turned around and declared endless war on every one of us. And so one of the things that we are really asking people to do is to go to New Earth Nation and become part of signing this peace treaty. That is one of the most important things that we can do, is to just absolutely make our own declaration of peace by signing this beautiful peace treaty that New Earth Nation has put together. That is our contract with the universe that we have declared peace. We are not willing to be the conscripted property of an international banking cartel that has been put under the thumb of the Vatican in order for our resources to be taken for their war efforts. So it's time that we the people started, you know, just growing up and taking responsibility. And just look at this team that has come around Rod Class. Here is Josie, you know, who is an advocate who has the ability to get in there and help him and look at her level of knowledge. And Josie, do you have any idea what made Karen Hootis come in and show up in that courtroom yesterday? Did she really share with you what brought her to that courtroom yesterday morning?
Yes, she did. She informed me the first thing this morning was, this is the linchpin and the mother of all cases in this great country of ours, because if this court terminates Rod's rights to his Second Amendment rights permanently, remember, this country operates, and these judicial courts operate under case law, which means the case law means the diversion of the federal rules of evidence, meaning that the day they handed Rod a pamphlet and they gave him instructions on how to use the rules of the court to bring in federal evidence, what they were telling Rod was that you have no rights to submit any evidence. And they were, you know, telling him in other words, and I informed him of that before this all occurred, and I said, this is what they're telling you. So if a court operates under case law, what they're doing is whatever they rule on in this case will take precedence, meaning every other person that comes in with the same issue behind him is going to receive the same penalty now. They're going to rule the same over and over and over for every person caught with some type of weapon or handgun or whatever they want to call, under the Second Amendment. They will now say, well, we ruled this on him. This is what you're going to get too. And just as she stated, this is another way that they work their way in through the system and take away your rights. It doesn't have to be abolished on paper. These courthouses can abolish it right there in the courthouse. It takes precedence, and the rest of the people in the nation will face the same penalty.
Well, now that is a pretty compelling statement. So what they're doing in this particular situation, too, is because Rod has invoked the trust and equity laws, and they are doing everything in their power not to allow this to come into this case. And he has been extremely careful about how he has brought this in so that he is protecting the public. Now, we really have to laugh about that because it's really talking about the State Secrets Act that they've put in there, which is really their way of saying to the people, we've done all of this. We've declared this Emergency Banking Act. We've put this amendatory act that makes you an enemy of the state. And we're conscripting all of your resources for the war effort. And then we're going to turn around and steal all those resources so that we can have the 1% of the population owning and controlling and setting up a police state over everybody else. And there's not a darn thing you can do about it because we're going to declare this a State Secrets Act, and we're not going to bring it out in our courtrooms, and anybody who does is going to get shut down and taken into the private because they'll harm the public if we bring it out in our courtrooms. That's really the game that's going on here.
And they're arming the state police with military gear and expecting the state police to pay for the upkeep of military gear. So they're trapping police in an economic nightmare.
Oh, yes.
You are absolutely correct. Both of you are absolutely correct. And I want to let you know about our police. Many of our police are actually former military. So they know how to operate the tanks and the Humvees and all of these weapons. And I just want to give you a little information on that, where, believe it or not, they've been instructed to do things to the people. And they, too, are questioning why they are receiving this type of information. They don't know what to do. I had a top Pentagon general actually, you know, validate to me they were a top Pentagon general. And they told me to tell the people, and I've been telling them, they do not know what to do. They are in serious conflict. They are stating this, their very own words that were told to me was, we don't know what to do. Are we going to help you, and are you going to back us if worse came to worse? Because they, too, probably have been instructed to do things, and they're in conflict in their own mind. They're saying, why are you telling us to do these things? And one of them asked me, would the American people back us if we had to defend this country? Because I'm not going to tell you what we were told to do, but what they told us was very disturbing. That's why I'm telling the American people today, you have a choice. Are you going to become a responsible person and do your civic duty to this country, whether you be a homemaker or a politician? When times get really, really rough and they hit the fan, are you going to defend this country? They don't even know what to do. And I was very shocked that this person revealed themselves. Another person revealed themselves to me as a retired, high-ranking military official, a mother of three children. I had a meeting and another talk show with bankers, people who work in banking, trust, annuities. I was shocked to see their positions. I wasn't even expecting to be on a show with them. And the message they gave me was, we are Americans, and we will back you if it comes to worse, but we are confused because, you know, they're serving our country. They're serving to protect this country, but now they're being instructed to do things, and they're not going to tell me what they were instructed to do. But I'm just going to give you as much information as I can. I've been doing these shows for 3 months now straight. It is up to you people. You have to stand behind Rod. You have to stand behind Mr. Class, just like you would have to stand behind your family. Remember this, people, whether you're a police officer or a military general, if someone is kicking in your doors, you better believe that someone's kicking in your family's doors down the road. It can happen to everyone here.
And, absolutely anyone. And I'd like to take a moment to say that I also have been contacted by military high-ranking, actually as much as a year ago, but and one of the reasons I've done this Law and Sovereignty series in conjunction with Newer Nation, because I've also seen some the similar orders that are very, very disturbing that talk about depopulation agendas and retaining people in certain federal zones, using quarantine acts to control people and to confuse the people that are police, the deputizing of military people to become temporary police officers under a corporate police structure, the bringing in of mercenaries, trained mercenaries, which we saw in Ferguson actually being used. They weren't police. They were trained mercenaries that we're not American citizens. This is real. This is very, very real. This is why Rod's case is more than a gun case. This is everything that every court has ever done wrong to one to an individual has been done wrong in this case. I mean, there's over 18 SF-95s filed against three judges and three prosecutors saying that there's a level as a felony notice there, and yet their insurances haven't been pulled. You know, we're at a point where what's being pushed onto these judges, the next point that Rod has to do is, you know, whether they're going to accept the paperwork or not is going to be very major, extremely major.
Yeah, it's really going to set us up for what's really going down in this country. And I'll have to tell you that another thing that came out, you know, there were quite a few people who came out in Rod's defense yesterday. They showed up in the courtroom, Karen Hootis and about, just a good number of people from the AIB network and other people who really just got behind this case. And one of the things that was shared with me was how the marshal himself came over and thanked the group who was there in support of Rod and just told them that there needed to be much more challenge to what was going on in the courtrooms in D.C. And he was very, very supportive. He's in that courtroom on a regular basis. He sees what's going on, and he made a beeline to thank those people who were standing up for Rod Class. And just don't forget, anybody who's going to be in the D.C. area on Monday the 10th, he does have another hearing, and that information is posted at the very front part of that press release that goes out. So be sure to just go to adventuresintosovereignty.org and look for that release and be able to get that information. And if you're going to be in D.C., get to that courtroom on Monday morning. Get there and let these judges know how much the people are really paying attention to what's going on behind the scenes here.
If you are a current duty military personnel, high-ranking military official that's listening to the show, we know you're listening, as well as ranking members of law enforcement, both retired and active duty, and you are in the Washington, D.C. area, we encourage you to show up in your uniform and show solidarity for Rodney Class. We encourage this at the highest level because not only did that marshal come over, those judges are about to know what the power of a courtroom can do. It's more than just the power of the bloggers and the radio at work here. You know, getting the judges to accept paperwork is going to be important. And the showing up in that courtroom is in their face that their fraud reality is now coming to an end.
Yeah, that's really just been the thing. And we're going to do everything in our power to be able to pull this information together so that if you're dealing with a home foreclosure or a child support enforcement or a traffic ticket. You know, you're going to have this information so that you know what's really going on behind the scenes. And then that will give you information that you need to absolutely do something about this. And you know, I'd really just like to take a minute, Andrew, and read some of this press release that Karen put together. You can find it on her Facebook page, but just in case people don't do that, I think I'll take just a minute and read that, because she did such a nice job of getting to that courtroom, and what she had to say about it, I think, is really worth repeating. She said, and I quote, "Rod Class has given unstintedly of his time to research and then teach how the law is used as a booby trap to fool us into thinking we still have our constitutionally protected rights, whereas the courts in reality are denying our common law right to appear as individual citizens and avail ourselves of the Bill of Rights, such as the Second Amendment right to bear arms, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed." And as we've said so often on this show, this is then just a very, very, very important part of it. A short excerpt when Rod Class interviewed Karen last February can be found on the anticorruptionsociety.com tag under Karen Hudis or on the AIB Radio Network. Rodney was arrested, shuttled about the country, held incommunicado, denied his necessary heart medicine, and denied bond. Rodney's crime? Having a firearm in his automobile. I learned this morning at 9 a.m. that Rodney had a court hearing at 10:30 a.m. before Chief Judge Richard W. Roberts at the U.S. Courthouse at 333 Constitution Avenue, Washington, D.C. I went to Courtroom 9, and friends of Rodney's who came from far away to attend the hearing were in the hall because Judge Roberts had locked the door, ostensibly to allow Rodney to read something. The judge unlocked the doors for 3 minutes at the very end of the hearing, and we managed to get in so that Rod could see that we were there for him. I met Rod's friends after the hearing. We will stay in touch. That is one of the best things about this line of business, meeting up with each other and working together to figure out the best way to clean up this corruption. Needless to say, we did not think that justice was served today. There is another hearing rescheduled in his case for Monday, November the 10th at 11:30 a.m. in Courtroom 9. I look forward to seeing you there. Best, Karen Hudis. All right.
That was really, really good. Thank you, Karen, if you are listening, for putting in your time, effort, and energy to show up there to write that post. And we look forward to having more and more interaction with you and bringing you on the show and bringing everyone's network together. That is what Adventures in Sovereignty is about. It is about working direct with AIB, working with all the other groups that we've put together under the New Earth Nation banner, the Adventures in Sovereignty. We want everyone to come forward and share all your information. Why? Because it's only when we act together that the individuals have so much more power.
Yes, and you know, that's just been the power of this network, and we have seen it. We've seen it. Look at the level of involvement that Josie has been willing to do and has been capable of doing, because she trained herself to become this disability advocate. You know, I trained myself by getting in there and getting in the courtroom and working with my brother and working with these people who are dealing with foreclosures and dealing with so many other things, so that we had to understand what's going on in our courts. And then we're doing everything we can to get out there and say, okay, we're going to do something about this. And that's really what it's all about. No question about it.
Yeah, you're right.
I also wanted just to say, if you don't mind, I don't know when the show is going to close out, but if any one of you listeners out there, whether you be a military general down to a homemaker that works at home, and you might have a doubt in your mind and you're unsure if you're in a stressful court case or a stressful circumstances where you've been pulled over and you don't know if your rights are being violated, you know, you can always contact me at ADA Forensic Files, 4U@gmail.com. And I am always open and willing to answer your questions. You would never know that possibly 98% of Americans may need an advocate in that courtroom. What we do is we're your shield. And we protect you from those ferocious lions in the courtroom who are only trying to impose depth on you before you walk out the door. We instruct you on your behavior. We help you prepare for the cases, prepare for medical documentation, prepare you for domestic violence cases. We prepare you for dependency cases where they're trying to steal your children. And although I am an ADA forensic advocate, I have 15 years experience in the dependency department where they steal your kids. And that is the most crucial when the DCFs come in and they abduct your children. And that's how I became involved. I've always worked in the courthouses as a clerk, but I quit. It made me sickened by the actions taken there, the partying that goes on in those courtrooms when people are miserable. You'll not even begin to witness how the clerks act and their misbehavior behind the podium. And when we come in there, I will assure you that if you ever run into an ADA advocate and you have a problem and you feel like you don't have anyone to help you, we are here. It may cost, but it doesn't cost more than what you're paying an attorney, $5,000, $10,000 in retainer fees. We don't charge like that to come in and sit in those courtrooms and hold your hand. We calm you down when the going gets tough or when people start using libelous slander against you or the husband on the other side or the wife on the other side comes in and jumps up on the seat and says, you're a bad person. You neglected my child. You did this and that. Our job is to shield them and call a timeout. Everybody out the room. We clear the room. We try to make this process as easy as possible. I've used the techniques and have been using them, and we have had great outcomes by being able to advocate on both parts of the family. I've seen parents that were going to get 10% shared parenting. We were able to push it to 50-50. We even work with normal individuals because you could be fully normal. You might have an invisible disability where you start to panic, go into high blood pressure. You could have a stroke going out of a courtroom. I've had a man have a termination of parental rights fall out in the courtroom, and all they did was stand aside and put him in the paddy wagon. He was dead.
Okay. And they still went against him, I bet.
And they move on. Next case, please.
Yep. As if nothing happened.
They're moving on as if nothing happened.
Yeah, that is not my idea of the New Earth Nation. That is not my idea of what I intend for my children and my grandchildren going forward. And that is why I do this work every single day, because I do something that moves us in the direction of peace and prosperity for everybody. Every single day I get up, I make it my business to do whatever is in my place of responsibility that day to move us forward. And it has been my absolute joy and honor to work along somebody like Rod Class throughout this year and throughout several years, because here is a man who has given his whole life to getting in there and understanding enough. You know, a lot of people say to us sometimes, why do you want to bother understanding all the statutes and codes and reading all of this stuff and going through that, you know, history? History is one of the most boring subjects. Why do you have to do that? Well, let me tell you something. Because of Rodney Class's detailed work, we can now understand this War Powers Act of 1917. We can understand how our resources were conscripted. That means they were drafted for military service. Our resources in the form of the ownership of our children, the ownership of our vehicles, our land, everything has been conscripted for the use of this international banking cartel. For Pete's sakes, what are we doing here? You know, as we've been able to trace how these corporations posing as government literally came in and took over our government when we weren't paying attention, and then set up their money system by funding the Social Security Act of 1935 and putting a price tag on our heads and putting the birth certificate out that proves that they did that. That, you know, educating everybody so that we can say, okay, now we understand, what are we going to do about it? Because it's my thinking that when we really get in there and we understand, then we're going to make choices. We're going to do whatever it takes to get in there and become responsible for the creation of peace and prosperity in our own lives. And that means saying no to these people who are in that courtroom who really have no authority over us. We have given them that authority by appearing to volunteer, by going along with their system without ever questioning. Whoever questioned why you need a birth certificate? Whoever questioned why you needed to fill out a driver's license form? Well, the driver's license and the registration goes right back to the provisions of that war. They understand it, and then you can see how they have used that. So you've got to go about unvolunteering. And that's a big part of what we'll be teaching as we put this e-learning platform together. We'll be teaching you step by step what we're talking about with these source documents so that you can really understand how you have become such a pawn for these bankers and their agents. And then we're going to do everything we can so that we can say, okay, now we know how they enclosed us and encased us as their straw man without a heart and their tin man with a T, taxpayer identification number, so that we can begin to get ourselves out from under this and create the kind of governance that is worthy of our role as humans in this day and age. So, you know, that's a big part of what we're talking about as we move this forward. So stay in touch, you know, get on Adventures into Sovereignty. We're still working on that website and the kinds of things that we're doing. And this is an all-volunteer effort. And I'd just like to say that we have plenty more room. We need people who are really Facebook savvy, we've got all kinds of, but we just don't have enough time to be able to do it all. Santi was working on this frantically behind the scenes today because we've just had so much breaking stuff going on, dealing with Rod in his case over the last several weeks, that we have just worked nonstop to be able to put all of this together. And Avi and Sasha working on getting this beautiful videos done so that we can start getting his story out in many, many different ways. So if you want to volunteer and help, there's plenty of room. Go to info at Adventures into Sovereignty and sign up for the to be put on the mailing list. volunteer, Rebecca at humanitad.org, humanitad.org. All of that information is on the press release. So we just really invite you to get involved in any way you can as we go through the knowledge stage here and then figure out what we're going to do as a collective human population, because you know what? It's up to us, and we got lots of good choices left, so let's make them.
That's right. Let's make the choices. So one of the topics that we regularly run into here with the law and sovereignty community, trying to reach out to the other communities that don't really care about law and sovereignty, is the story gets so big fast that how do they take us, attack us? How did they get us in the trading with the enemy? Well, 101 years ago in 1913, Edward Mendelhaus gave a speech in front of the Congress that described what was going to happen to our population over the next 100 years. And in this statement to Congress, he actually says it'll be 100 years before anyone even figures out what we've done. So that is a piece that you can share, that is a 100-year-old piece. So for people that have never experienced where it came from, you can see a person that is setting this up 100 years ago so that judges could do what they want, prosecutors could do what they want, so that they could embezzle everything from you from a War Powers Act that was going to be signed 4 years after that speech. And 20 years after that speech, there would be a revision to the War Powers Act called Trading with the Enemy Act and all those other revisions that went into it that made it the way it is today. Because World War I and World War II removed millions of Americans who were people that populated courthouses, that were bailiffs, that were people on tribunals. Those people died. They were dead, killed in World War I and World War II. They were all lost. And they were not able to pass on to the people what a real court looked like. And that's what Edward Mendelhaus's speech is about.
Boy, that's one of the best ones. That, you know, that's all part of the source documents that we teach about and that we're putting together here as we're putting all of this information together. And, you know, I know there's just so much information that we haven't been able to give everybody about what's going on with Rod's case tonight. But, you know, there are plenty of the videos that we've already done with Rod. The one that we put up just really, really does summarize his case. And then we've got several more that we have put out there as we've been putting together all of this information. So go back through the archives. They're both on New Earth Nation under the broadcast archives. And as we get them uploaded on Adventures into Sovereignty, they're also on the YouTube channels so that you can go back and really review what Rod has been teaching over the last 6 months, because it seems to me like the information that we have been able to pull together as a result of, first of all, the DC case and the number of people who have been coming in to give him information as a result of this has really just been something else. I would say we've learned more in this last 6 months than we have in forever. Wouldn't you say so, Andrew?
Absolutely. I was muted there for a second. We have learned so much in the last 3 months, okay? I remember in the end of July at the event there, some of the breaking information that we began to understand about about what was going on in the CAFR accounts and what was going on in Texas with the Office of Comptroller, and a lot of the information that Dwight was talking about at the event. Breaking stuff that's really... the best of the best researchers in the world are really looking at that and going, wow, we didn't realize how advanced they have made this system.
Yes. Oh, yeah, I know. I mean, just in 6 months, the depth, I mean, gosh, I thought I knew so much about this stuff, but just the amount of stuff that we have been pulling together through all of this and getting down to where we have such detail, and the investigative people who have been coming forward and saying, I know that there is more going on behind the scenes financially, and I'm going to find it out, and we're going to spread that, you know, everywhere. So that really has been going on just in a very, very big way. So no question.
So something I'd like to bring up. So there are people out there that want to file paperwork, and there are other people that want to volunteer, and then there are other people that don't know what to do. They're not studied enough. What you do is you have the ability to make an impact in your local community, and we want to encourage people out there to think about flash mobs. Flash mobs can be held anywhere in an area that's public, and you can make a statement about what the courts are doing. And we've been in contact with so people can understand what the court's like, and we're going to describe what it's like. And we'd like people to begin to organize flash mobs in your area, so we can begin informing the society out there about the War Powers Act, about the Trading with the Enemy Act, why when you get a speeding ticket, they can write $6 or $7 million on your personal account and you'd never see the money and still have to pay the ticket.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's almost sad sometimes, you know, what we're really dealing with here. But you know what? Silence is acquiescence. We're volunteering into this system according to the way they have it designed, and we can unvolunteer as easy as we can volunteer. And some of the other things that we'll be doing in the next coming months here, we have a very interesting troop out of Georgia who has volunteered to put together some really cool theater stuff for us so that, you know, we can hold mock courts and we can hold, you know, just the Rod Kless story. We're doing this documentary. We'll be able to tell a lot more of the stories and we want to find as many creative ways as we can. You know, this is pretty serious stuff, and sometimes the best way to do it is just to laugh at ourselves. We're kind of all in this together. And, you know, it doesn't help just to get angry and stay with it. We need to find ways to lighten our energy and find ways to poke fun at it. That's why we said Operation Spitwad, right? Because we want to bring in the idea of the naughty kids who go ahead and just absolutely pick up a straw and throw spitwads at this black-robed guy or girl who thinks that they have the power to continue to sentence us without having any moral responsibility for it. You know, that only happens as long as a society is willing to stand by and allow it to happen. And we've just had a lot of history and a lot of ways that, you know, we've not made the best choices down through the years. So it's about finding other ways to do this. And theater and drama and music is one of the best ways I know to help get the word out. And I've been in touch with this wonderful troupe in Georgia who's been working together on some of this, and we'll be in contact with them. And then, of course, as Roger and Amit and his group is working just nonstop on getting some of this documentary footage together, then they're using a lot of the really high-tech animation and games playing so that we can do this in a way that people are going to be able to learn it, and it's not going to have to be so dry and dull. And we're looking for investors who really want to help get in there and put some of this together. There's a lot going on behind the scenes that you could get involved in. So if you're listening and you have, you want to do that, then by all means do that. And this is, I'm going to take this call, Will, and see what's going on, Andrew. So hold it just a minute.
All right. So I want to tell people out there in the AIB network, we want you to tune up your best Rod or Dwight impersonation. We are going to be taking candidates for that mock court to be a Rod and to be a Dwight, because we're going to need more Rods and Dwights. And I just received a message from a fan that's been on Adventures in Sovereignty since the very beginning, Mr. Meow Meow. He is saying that they are going to attempt to organize cardboard cutouts of judges that will be able to people to order so you can use for flash mobs. And they would like for you to use cardboard cutouts of a judge in front of a court or in a public place and have a few hundred people show up and shoot spitwads at it. I think that if this is done properly with video, it can be a massive teaching experience. They call us paper terrorists for a reason, because all we have left is paper, because they will not listen to our words. They won't listen to our hearts. They won't listen to our belief system because they are rooted in their fraud and corruption.
I tell you what, it's really been a learning experience, hasn't it? I mean, you know, it's really been a learning experience. And I think that the most important lesson that Jerry and I have learned, we were talking about it earlier tonight, we had the rudest wake-up call. The first court that we ever visited was in a death penalty situation where the man was absolutely not guilty. And there was so much information that had been put together that we walked out of that courtroom on cloud nine because we thought that there was no way under the world that those judges could continue to pass that sentence. So we had a very, 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 very rude awakening to realize that there was something fundamentally flawed when a death penalty sentence that was not right could be allowed to go forward. So we've had a long, you know, a long and turbulent history of having to learn this and just really look at it and say, okay, what's my responsibility in this? What is my responsibility? And so my responsibility has been willing to just absolutely look at it in, you know, with wide open eyes and not judge it, but just simply look at it and be willing to stand and say, we're better than this. We can do better as a nation. We can do better as a world. And I know that. And I know with every intention that it's possible for me to have that Rod Class is not going to spend the rest of his life in jail, railroaded by a court system that has no more honor than what we have seen here. And it's time that you know, it's just time that we simply recognize it and we do something about it. And, you know, whatever we can do, one day at a time, that's all that we're asked to do. And I think that the collective energy that we all put into just opening our eyes and watching what's going on and just absolutely from our heart space, being willing to see it and say no. No, this is not what I choose. And I think that is, you know, whatever we do, it doesn't matter. It's up to each individual, and it is just as simple as making those choices.
It is within the choices that ultimately determines sovereignty. It also determines if you're going to follow the rules of tacit consent or not. Tacit consent is this 4 years of voting. They're now cheering for it. But a week before the election, it was Ebola, 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 Obama, Obama, Ebola. And now after the election, we don't hear about Ukraine anymore. We don't hear about Israel anymore. We don't hear about Ebola anymore. Their propaganda season has come to an end. There's new series that are being created and old series that are being canceled in the propaganda. And Rod Class is the thorn in their side. The media nightmare that is about to become global. So I want to thank everybody at bbsradio.com, Santi, New Earth Nation, Rebecca Cope, everyone that has come to this show, everyone in the AIB network, and above all, Rod Class. You know, yes. We wouldn't be doing this show if it wasn't for you, for all these months, all these years of incredible work that you've done. I want to give special thanks to both Sharon and Dwight, the Rod's family in the background, who are going through their own scenario. And I know it's tough for them, very, very tough. And we know Rod's been put on the diesel thing. You know, he's not the only private attorney general that's been done to this. We know of another one that this has been done to, except he doesn't actually have a permanent jail. They just keep moving him from jail to jail to jail, so mail never keeps up to him. They knew in this case that they couldn't do that extreme levels to Rod because Rod has hundreds and thousands of people that are constantly in contact with him. And he has a network of people that are very, very skilled. And it's time that we take these sharpened skills and we point them at the courthouse and say, here we come.
And I really want to thank Josie for coming on and sharing with us so much and for just being there to be an advocate in the way that she has done to reach out with Rod and work so diligently. And Josie, I'd love to have you on another show and be able to talk more about what you are doing with the disability. So thank you. Yeah, thank you so much for being with us tonight.
Well, thank you all, and I just want to let everyone know to make sure you say a good prayer for Rod during the weekend and hope for a well-expected outcome on Monday or Tuesday, and I will be more than happy to join you on another occasion because we do have a lot of work to do ahead of us, and it'd be my pleasure to join you and help walk the people through what needs to be done. I have some very, very good resources that I would like to bring to your show one day. People who have actually worked with the top 13 families that rule the world. And I believe I can bring this individual on. He can give you a walkthrough in the future of what is about to happen to this country at any moment now. And it would be my pleasure to bring him on, another source of mine. And I have several other sources, and I want to thank the National Liberty Alliance. I've invited them to join the call today, and I'm sure several of them are on there. We speak daily, and they are very interested in Rod's case and interested in your programming.
Yes, absolutely. We've been in touch with John, and I know Troy's one of our big supporters from New Earth Nation who works with the Oregon grand juries. Every one of these movements who is out there doing their part to educate themselves and get involved, every single thing that we do is so important. And we just thank everybody who's been willing to get out there and do whatever is theirs to do. That's for sure. All right, Andrew, we'd better fold this show up. We really
All right. Remind everyone, go to adventuresintosovereignty.org, click on the emergency Rod Class press release update. Please share that press release far and wide. And for any of you bloggers out there that want to begin populating an article, please go to Adventures into Sovereignty, the ITNJ site, to get access to the source documents where you can go right to AIB and the big list and all the videos that we have and audio that they have up there as well as on the YouTube channel to begin populating the documents that are going to need to write for bloggers in their own perspective, not from ours. You know, you've learned from us, now take it in your own and spread it as far and wide. All right, AB, this has been an incredible episode of Adventures into Sovereignty. Thank you, everyone at the Mega Giant BBS Radio, everyone in Blog Talk, and those that are on Google Hangouts. Take us away, guys.